This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, produced by Pete Zimmerman. I'm John Williams. Farron Dogs is the founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial. HarrisonWallace.com is their website. Farron, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm real good, John. How are you doing?
Pretty good. We've been talking a lot about jobless claims and numbers on the show this week, and I'll start there, but there's more I want to ask you about. But what's your review of the 184,000?
Yeah, it was a nice number. Obviously, it was below expectations, so the trend continues that we are not having as many people filing new claims, and that's been a pandemic low, I believe, this number here. So it's definitely going in the right direction, considering the labor situation that we're dealing with. So it was nice to see. Also, you know, continuing claims were about as expected, slightly higher, but it's better that we see that other number continue to go down.
Considering the labor situation we're dealing with, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we just have such a tight labor market. We have so many jobs out there. This week it came out that there's 11 million job openings, and, you know, employers are just having such a difficult time finding employees and people to fill those positions. And, you know, they're telling us, and what I'm reading and hearing about is there's actually about 3.5 million more jobs out there than there are people that could be counted as employable. You know, there's about 7.4 million that could be counted as unemployed right now that could be employable, according to, you know, what the employment status means.
Yeah.
But there's only 3.6. There's like 11 million jobs. So we have a big deficit there.
But that first number you referenced is what is really interesting to me, because we can champion the fact that the jobless claims fall to 184,000, but we have people who have left the market, the labor pool, and don't seem to be interested in coming back. And I just don't understand that. I don't know what the fix is, for that matter.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question and situation, because you would think pre-pandemic we seem to be doing fine, right? Like, yep. And it's almost like, well, where did all the workers go? And some of that is a combination of a couple of things, I think. I think we are seeing newer workers enter the labor force at a slower pace. You know, they're doing more gig economy types of jobs that maybe not are hitting the radar. Also, personally, in my own practice, I've seen a fair amount of people choose to retire. And as we do have the aging of America, we are going to see more and more people hit that retirement option. And because the markets have been so good, their 401ks are healthy, they're in a really good spot to be able to, you know, they have the option to walk away from that job.
So
we're getting that dynamic as well.
So then how alarming or bad is it? Unless you're a restaurant, you can't get people to work. How significant is it? What's the context for the fact that these people have disappeared? They've decided to live with less or retire or whatever. But I mean, is that necessarily a bad thing, or it is what it is? It's a neutral thing.
Well, I think, you know, we're a resilient economy, and our companies are very resilient here in the U.S., and we're innovative. And the more technology that we can incorporate in businesses, you know, maybe we're going to be able to like, lessen that gap between the need for a physical person to be there and some of the technology that can perform that task. But that does take some time. So I think the employers are going to be feeling a pinch here for a few years until maybe technology can catch up or innovation. So I think we're running into a situation where, you know, I know employers are working on short staff. I know employees are feeling the pinch. You know, they're doing the jobs of maybe two people and don't feel that they're necessarily getting the compensation. Therefore, we have this, you know, the great resignation period of time that's going on, and a lot more jumping jobs. And I think, you know, our economy will survive and, you know, we'll get through this, but it is an interesting period of time to have so many openings and so many people that are just not interested. And, you know, we'll have to see how this all goes. I guess maybe the the slowing of the opening of the economy kind of helps us a little bit, not from necessarily a growth side, but it does help that employer. That maybe if we were at, 100% in our economy, would be more challenged.
I'll turn my microphone on, and I think the conversation will go a lot better if I do. I've got a lot more to... and in fact, I'm out of time today, Farron. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always so interesting, too. Do join us again. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Will do. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Farron Doggs is the founder and CEO at Harrison Wallace Financial Group. Okay, let's visit with Roger Chang, executive editor and head of news at CNET. Hey, Roger, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the products of 2021. What did you guys all notice were exceptional this year?
Well, you know what? It was a strange year, as it has been the last 2 years for tech products. Obviously, the supply constraint had threw an extra couple of wrinkles when it came to the kind of devices we got, but there are obviously some big new advances. Apple's MacBook, with its M1 processor, its custom chip, advanced chip that's even faster, was one of those computers that we highlighted as a real winner. Runs a lot faster, a lot cooler. Was just sort of surprisingly effective for a laptop that runs on a mobile chip. On the phone space, obviously the Apple 13s. Those all took editor's choices. The Samsung Galaxy S21 Ultra 5G as well. And we had a number of home entertainment gear, which was a big deal this year. Like last year, we were all kind of stuck at home. Once again, the LG C1 OLED TV, if you want like the best, crispest picture, you want to get an OLED TV, and LG has the editor's choice for us. Personally, I like the Vizio televisions and TCL televisions, and those tend to be good budget picks as well. And so, there were a number of devices out there, but I would say the advances and the supply, all that was kind of thrown in the air this year because of the ongoing supply constraints we're facing.
Yeah, no kidding. Vizio, V-I-Z-I-O, that's the TV set that you like. I do see that stuff at stores. Vizio,
yes. It's you tend to be more affordable. You get more bang for your buck when it comes to televisions. Usually you see Samsung front and center. Samsung televisions are nice and they look nice, but you tend to get more value with brands like Vizio.
And I'll just mention here, and again, you can go to cnet.com to see this list of tech products for 2021, but if you're going to do some shopping, the computers and laptops and more, you like the Dell XPS 13, the Apple MacBook Pro 16-inch, you like the Razer Blade 14, Dell, Razer, Nintendo, Apple, Kindle, the models and makes are all at cnet.com. I think that's helpful for folks thinking about doing some shopping these days. Let's move on. Instagram chief testifies before Congress for the first time. What are the takeaways from this?
Some of the big takeaways are, well, one, the lawmakers still don't trust Instagram to self-regulate, to patrol itself, despite the fact that Instagram, which is owned by Facebook or now Meta, has a number of safety procedures, and they've got staff curators that kind of look at potentially problematic content. Most of the lawmakers that grilled Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram, were pretty skeptical about their ability to kind of contain some of this information, particularly when it comes to children. One of the other big takeaways, Instagram Kids, which is a project that was really rumored for most of the year until Facebook and Instagram said that they were shelving it. It's not off the table, despite the fact that there has been a lot of concern about, and this is the point of this hearing, is that the impact on social media, in particular Instagram, on children are potentially very harmful. And so it was interesting to kind of get some commentary about whether or not Mosseri would commit to permanently pausing the Instagram Kids project, which he said he wouldn't necessarily commit to. So it's just kind of an interesting dynamic there.
Well, I can see that's how you build brand loyalty and awareness and get the kids hooked. I mean, it's It's got to be tantalizing, but the timing is sure bad for something like that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the closest he would say is that he wouldn't build a product or a platform for children that they were able to access without their parents' consent. But we all know that kids can get around parental consent pretty easily nowadays. So kids are pretty smart.
Yeah, no kidding. Incidentally, Google is giving a bonus to its employees. It looks to me like a pretty generous one, huh?
Yeah, so reportedly, Google is giving a cash bonus of $1,600 or so, the equivalent, depending on where you live, a one-time cash bonus to all of its employees. As you know, they've pushed back the return to office date to further out. It's sort of indefinite at this point because of the Omicron variant. So I think it's partly to help support mental health, partly to support your ongoing work from home situation. This bonus was given out to employees.
One more company I want you to talk about, the Chinese smartphone maker Oppo, O-P-P-O. Why are they in the news?
So Oppo just unveiled a new foldable phone. And I remember kind of pre-pandemic, the foldable phones were one of the hottest things. And this is the Oppo Find N. Obviously, as we went into the pandemic and people stopped caring as much about bells and whistles and the latest and greatest, or at least the kind of aspirational latest and greatest, the heat on or the interest in foldable phones has faded. But Oppo, which most U.S. consumers have probably never heard of, but it's the same company that puts out OnePlus phones, which does have more of a presence here. They introduced the Find N, which is a foldable phone. It looks a lot like the Galaxy Z Flip, kind of like an old school flip phone, but the screen inside is one continuous screen, flips in, flips out. I'm still convinced that down the line, foldable phones will be a thing that a lot of us will own, but we're still pretty far away from that. Right now, it's really a lot of companies putting these phones out there, more as concepts, more again as aspirational products for people to potentially shoot for, to get ideas for. But we're not quite there yet in terms of mass market or mass consumers actually buying these things.
Roger Chang is the executive editor, head of news at CNET. CNET.com is the website. Nice to talk to you, Roger. Thanks for helping us out today.
Always. Thanks for helping me.
Tax time is here, isn't it? I mean, you have a couple of tax dates on your calendar. One is in April, but another one is the end of the year, because there are some things that you can know and do that will help. Felicia Stevenson is with Jackson Hewitt. She's a Jackson Hewitt franchisee. Let's visit with Felicia. Hey, Felicia, this is John Williams. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good today. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm looking at a list of tax tips for the end of the year that you shared with my producer. Let's click through a bunch of these. Is there anything people can do before the end of the year to reduce their taxable income?
Absolutely. And I'll just go through that and point out a few. I mean, as we know, this has been such a difficult year for many Americans. So in order to sort of reduce those tax liabilities and be able to help the community, you're able to donate and you can actually use that as a write-off on your taxes. So we always encourage people, many of us have basements full of boxes and different things. Go through that. Go through those cabinets, drawers, and clothes, and give those away to those charitable contributions, and we're able to use that on your taxes to reduce the amount of money that you're hoping to pay in your tax liability.
I thought that for a lot of people with the standardized deduction, they lost the incentive or even the ability to deduct charitable contributions.
So because since I think last year with that, they are able to do 600 in charitable deductions, even if they're not itemized.
That was an exception, right? I mean, that was for this
yes,
past
that's an exception.
Year.
That's correct. That's correct. That's an exception. So that's different than normal.
And help me with this. If I do a GoFundMe page contribution, is that deductible?
That is not. It has to be a 501c3 organization in order for it to qualify.
If you have a flex spending account, you have to use it. Tell me if this is correct, because I have one of these accounts and I have some money in there right now and I haven't used it. You have to, what is it?
Use it by the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the key. You have to use it. So those accounts are use it or lose it type of accounts. So if you have any money left in your flexible spending accounts, make sure you're using that by the end of the year so that you can account for it on your 2021 taxes.
You know, I think where I stumble a little bit is because if you hadn't used it, fine. So some of us have a system where then you have to recapture that. It doesn't get paid back to you right away. But that's okay. Even if the paperwork happens after January 1st, the point is the service needs to have been performed before December 31st, right?
That is absolutely correct. So as long as the service is performed before December 31st, you are able to capture that on your 2021 taxes.
Do you have anything to say about the child tax credit for families this year?
Absolutely. Well, as we all know, that credit has increased to $3,600. And one of the big things that most Americans know that they have been receiving these advanced credits. And so I want to just point out and just make sure people understand that's an advanced credit. So you're receiving a part of it now and you'll receive the remaining portion at tax time. So it's going to be very important that you, when Americans, taxpayers receive those letters, that they keep that. Us as professional tax preparers, we need that information in order to calculate an accurate and correct return. The IRS is already issuing returns within 21 days. If there's any errors in the file, they're kicking it to what they call a error resolution system, and that could take months to resolve. So make sure you guys are bringing those letters in so that we can properly prepare those returns.
Felicia, those advances on the child tax credit, the payments that people were actually receiving, it was income to them, but do they pay taxes on that next year then?
No, it's an advance on an actual credit, so they will not have to pay taxes on that.
But I guess then the flip side of that then is that if you normally get a return, it might be less this year because you've already captured some of that credit, right?
Well, it wouldn't be less because the goal was only to fund a portion of it. So it's kind of broken down and they were only funding the portion that was more than they're used to getting anyway.
Oh, really?
So if anything, it would be about the same. But that's the message that Americans need to get, is that they should not expect this huge increase, because keeping in mind they've already received a portion. So if you take the portion that you received through the end of the year and you add that to your tax return, then you did receive more.
You also say that if you can pay your spring 2021 tuition, you should do that in, or 2022. What's the advantage of paying in advance tuition?
Because you're able to capture that as a deduction on your current year. So let's say you know you are in possibly a different tax bracket, a higher tax bracket, and paying more out. You can use that to your advantage and actually pay the tuition ahead of time so that you can get the credit for it in the current year.
Is there an income cap on who's eligible for that? Can everybody deduct their tuition?
There is an income cap, I think, of 70. Well, it's based on your adjusted gross, your modified adjusted gross income. I don't have those numbers exactly, but there is an income limit. I know for sure a married filing joint is probably somewhere in the 140, 150 area.
Anything else you want to just drop into our listeners' ears?
Sure. I'd love to just throw it out again as a tax tip as we're all preparing. Guys, you know that us as professionals, we spend a lot of time understanding, getting the new tax laws. And so if I can encourage you to do anything else, make sure that you're going to someone that's a professional, that they can get this done for you correct. There's lots of changes that can affect you if it's not done correctly. And one other thing to point out, because the $1,400 stimulus was paid out this year, if you have not received it, you did not lose it. You're able to capture that on your taxes. Also, if you have a child and this year by December 31st, you're also able to claim that $1,400 stimulus check on your next year taxes so that you can get that, make sure you get that money.
And what about if I was working from home and created a home office? Can I deduct the square footage of that from, I don't know, income or property taxes? Is there any deduction there for me?
Oh, absolutely. You can. For anyone that's working from home, there is a home office tax deduction where you're able to take a portion of that. There are, you know, a couple things that, you know, define. We have to know what the square footage of your home is as compared to the particular room that you're using. You have to know the number of days and hours that you work there. And then there are some utility costs that you can also take, for instance, water and sewage, but you can only take that if your business needed that. So someone like that's running a medical office or bakery or daycare, they're able to use that. Like, you know, gas, those kind of things would be probably for anyone in the house because you absolutely need that to run the business.
Right. But if I'm doing accounting from home, I can't deduct maybe a prorated portion of my utility bill or my plumbing, my water and sewage, right?
You can take a small portion of it because, again, if you were working an eight-hour day, it's expected that you would have to, you know, per se, use the bathroom.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, all right, one last question. I know I'm going long here, but it would seem to me like, does this flag my return if I have a lot of these things? Is it worth it to make these deductions, Felicia?
Absolutely. This would not flag your return, but the key part is it has to be done correctly. And so knowing the square footage of your home compared to the square footage of that room, that's how we're able to properly calculate a percentage. And then we can take that percentage and use that to deduct all of the additional expenses. So it's not something that, you know, may be easy for someone to do on their own, but as a professional, that's what we're there for, is to assist you.
Felicia Stevenson is Jackson Hewitt franchisee. Visit JacksonHewitt.com to connect with Felicia. Thanks, Felicia. We appreciate your help today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. We've got more business news. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The board of newspaper company Lee Enterprises has voted unanimously to reject an unsolicited takeover proposal from Alden Global Capital, the company that now owns the Chicago Tribune. Alden is also the hedge fund known for cutting journalists at local papers to maximize profits. The Lee board determined that Alden's proposal of $24 per share grossly undervalued the company and was not in the best interest of the company or its shareholders. Lee owns the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Buffalo News, and dozens of other newspapers. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which used to be headquartered in Schaumburg, is being sold to not-for-profit cancer researcher and treatment provider City of Hope. Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now based in Florida. It was founded in Illinois in 1998. The selling price is reportedly $390 million. The deal is expected to close early next year. City of Hope is a leading cancer researcher and runs a large bone marrow and stem cell transplant program. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Time for the business of food, and Steve Alexander.
It is the season, Johnny. It's season for giving, and many years ago, our old pal Orion Samuelson gave me the gift of telling me about Heifer International. It's a charity based on one cow.
Yes, our founder, Dan West, during the Spanish Civil War, he was a volunteer, and he was handing out powdered milk every day to families, and there were lines and lines of families, you know, waiting for that one cup of powdered milk each day, and he had an idea that said, you know, if we could give these families a heifer, they could have milk every day.
Christy Moore is in charge of marketing for Heifer International, which sends animals and agricultural know-how to 21 countries, including ours. Heifer's holiday catalog is out and ready for you to buy a heifer or a goat.
Those are our two most popular items in the catalog, but we also have honeybees, we have sheep.
And chicks and llamas and alpacas. Or you can send the gift of clean water or buy some seeds or send a girl to school or buy biogas stoves for villages. And you don't have to spend a lot. You can, but you can also buy a share of an animal, such as a share of a water buffalo for $25 or a share of a pig for $10. And the beauty of heifer.org is that the animals are re-gifted in a way. The recipients are required to share with their communities. For example, someone who gets chickens shares the eggs. And when an animal has babies, those are given to another family, and so on for generations. And you can donate in honor of whoever's on your Christmas list.
You could buy meaningful gifts and send your loved ones an honor card telling them that that gift was purchased in their name.
Cool idea, right? Let's keep this between us, but if I get John's name in the WGN Secret Santa drawing, I'm looking at a share of a water buffalo. in honor of our childhood hero, Fred Flintstone. At heifer.org is where you can get all the information for the meaningful, long-lasting gift-giving this holiday season. Many parents use this as a teaching tool about philanthropy. From the farm to your belly, today is National Pastry Day. We've got a lot of great bakeries in Chicago, so drop by and enjoy. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Let's spend that time with Amy Guth. And we'll start talking about, as you often do, Amy, the airline industry. What's on your radar today?
Well, a couple of different things. One of them is that American has announced that they're going to be really pretty dramatically cutting back their international schedule due to Boeing 787 delays. So earlier, the Wall Street Journal reported that these 787 Dreamliner delays, they've derailed plans for American to resume about 89% of their long-haul international flying that it was doing prior to the pandemic. And so some of the routes that they're going to cut back on are routes that they were anticipating launching. Like there was one from Seattle going into Bangalore. That one's going to be delayed. They're not going to start that one yet. But they're really cutting back on some of their bigger routes: Hong Kong, Ireland, Scotland, Croatia, Prague. They're cutting back those. They're also making what they described as temporarily but significantly reducing frequencies throughout the Asian Pacific area. So Shanghai, Beijing, Sydney, things like that. They're going to focus instead on London, Dublin, and Madrid. So, you know, it's kind of another complication in the middle of so much that's happening with international travel just in the last few days, given the announcement of the new variant of COVID. But nonetheless, so American is making a lot of shifts. So if you plan to do some American, some travel on American Airlines, check it out. You know, double check your route and make sure that they're still going to be flying that, or they're, you know, if you plan to do this flight, if it's a flight you do regularly, you know, check in and make sure that they're, it's not one that's being scaled back.
Why are British Airways, is British Airways suing O'Hare?
Yeah, I thought this was a really interesting story. So Crane's political columnist Greg Hines was reporting on this earlier in the week, that British Airways has filed a lawsuit against O'Hare Airport, saying that there was some debris on the airports, and legally the airport does have an obligation to keep debris off the taxiways and the runways, but they said that it caused significant damage to their aircraft, and several of them, a few of them, had to be taken out of circulation. The engines had to be rebuilt because the engines had ingested some of this debris. They didn't say exactly what that was. They just described it as foreign object debris. But nonetheless, this suit has been filed. O'Hare said they, you know, wouldn't be commenting because it's pending litigation. But I'll be keeping an eye on that. It's kind of interesting timing. It's a sensitive time, as Greg Hines pointed out in his column, because the Chicago Department of Aviation is waiting for the FAA to either approve or, you know, call for a review of the $8.5 billion terminal expansion. So it's probably not the time to be, you know, in legal hot water nonetheless, but I'll be keeping an eye on how that shakes out.
What's happening with McDonald's? They're trying to diversify their franchises?
They are. So McDonald's has faced a lot of scrutiny on the topic of equity. Over the last couple of years, we saw a lawsuit from media mogul Byron Allen. It was ultimately dropped, but he said he's going to come back with more, you know, more details and more evidence. But nonetheless, McDonald's has faced a lot of scrutiny around sexual harassment issues and discrimination issues of other types. And so they're launching a program to create lower cost loans with the hope of getting more people into being franchisees, because that's a really big part of McDonald's. Their issue, really, because there's corporate culture and there's the corporate restaurants and they have control over what happens there, but they have less control over what's happening with franchisees. But nonetheless, some accusations had surfaced that certain franchisees of color were given not desirable neighborhoods is what I think that's how they described it, or given neighborhoods where they were going to maybe see a lower income point or face higher crime or things like that. So hopefully this plan will help combat some of that and encourage more people to, enter being a franchisee if that's something that they want to do.
And that's our time for today. Thanks for your help as always, Amy.
Thanks so much, John.